Welcome to a special edition of the Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas, featuring an interview with a thinker, writer, doer, or someone with an interesting story to tell.
I'm visiting with John Compeer, who is the official historian of a really famous event that happens out in a little town in West Texas. And it's called the Texas Cowboys Christmas Bowl. Now, it's now an official state historical event, been designated so by the Texas Historical Commission to promote our preservation, really, of our entire culture. It's held at Pioneer Hall, which has been the home of the Texas Cowboys Christmas Bowl since over 80 years ago. It was built just to host this event. And this thing goes back to 1885, when Anson, just north of Abilene, was really on the edge, the low rolling plains, just on the edge of civilization, where you had some ranchers like the Smiths and others pushing to the extreme west, right under the Caprock. But of course, up on top of the high ground of Texas, there wasn't any good water. They just couldn't live up there very well. Now, within a few years, all that changed. But this is really the last part of the continental United States settled up where I am. This was the frontier to that area. And people lived out on these ranches and they rode horseback, obviously, or walked. They were a long way from anybody else. And human beings are social creatures. And human beings need to meet others. And if you have children, the girls need to meet men to marry. And the boys need to meet girls. So there were these traditions of you go in by what little store-bought supplies you have to have, and maybe sell some of the things you're bringing. You go to the closest part of the frontier. And this Christmas Bowl was really that. I mean, it was a major meeting point where, for many, it may be, other than a lone rider that comes through, it may be their only social event for a year, maybe one out of 2 years where they saw other people, not everybody, but especially those out on the edges of the frontier, the ones who were really super pioneers. It was a big deal, and it was held at a hotel that used to be there in Anson, Texas, just north of Abilene, the county seat of Jones County. John, this ball is a big deal, and your association exists to continue this history event. I want, before we get into all the detail of its history and the famous poem about it, what is it that motivates you guys to keep this going? Because I'm sure it's hard work.
Well, we want to continue the Western heritage idea, celebrate its history and promote the preservation of this old-time ball. It's Anson's Cowboys Christmas Ball, and we want to keep it alive and preserve the history of it and do our annual historical reenactment, which is what the ball is this year. It's a actual reenactment of that Frontier Gala 136 years ago in the Morning Star Hotel at Anson. It honored Harriet.
It didn't just start as an I want people to understand that we're not doing a perpetual reenactment of something that happened one or two times back in the 1880s. The ball itself is a reenactment of itself every year. I mean, this thing was huge in the 1940s, the 50s. I mean, this has been a big deal for many, many, many generations. Talk about how the ball has evolved from that start at the hotel.
Well, they had it to honor area cowboys, their ladies and families. It was an opportunity for all the rural folks to come in to the small city of Abilene out in this area of West Texas on the frontier. It was to come in and gather and celebrate the holiday and see each other and have a family event. It's a family holiday gathering. And, we have continued it every year. It's gone on for 136 years, and it's continued. It went during World War II. They invited soldiers from Camp Barkley outside of Abilene to it, and it is continued. And we try to do the annual reenactment of that Frontier Gala and family gathering every year. And that old Pioneer Hall, the historic Pioneer Hall, over 80 years old, as you said, is an old-time Texas dance hall, hardwood floor. It's got bleachers on the side for families, for the older people, younger people, people that don't dance can come in and listen to the music. And it's a wonderful historical gathering for families.
Let's talk about Pioneer Hall for a moment. I mean, this thing was built to host the Cowboys Christmas Bowl because the Cowboys Christmas Bowl was such a big deal. And already, I mean, when we think of this being, it was built so long ago that it itself is an historic landmark in history, but the ball is so much older than that, that, I mean, it was such a big deal for a long time that they went and built a home for it, a specialized home. Talk about the hall.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the first ball was in the ballroom at the Morningstar Hotel. Well, the Morningstar Hotel burned down a couple of years later. So they continued the ball. They had it in the high school gymnasium and for several years. And then it became so popular and so many people coming into it that the association, which is a small nonprofit, Texas nonprofit corporation and tax exempt federal historical charity, the association, which is composed of volunteers from the Anson area, decided, you know, we've got to build a hall for this. So in 1936, they bought an acre of land out on the outskirts of town, which is where the golf course is now, and the state and the city park, and built this old-time rock Texas dance hall for families to come in. And it's been celebrated there every year now for over 80 years.
Yeah, and I want to say something about the hall itself because I keep up, obviously, with Texana. It's really important to me. There's sort of a big idea out there that all the old dance halls are in the hill country or somewhere like that. And yes, some of our historic structures, whether it's Green Hall or anywhere else, that were built often by German settlers or Czech settlers as fraternal organization halls where they hosted dances. These things have been very threatened. We've lost a lot of them. Some of them still are big music venues, but they're not all down around Austin, folks, or all near East Texas. I mean, the Pioneer Hall in Anson is exactly this kind of thing, a wooden floor built for dancing, plenty of seating because it's a social engagement, as these things always were, and it's just everything about it. It's pretty neat to go to an event that is an official state historical event designated by the Texas Historical Commission to promote, you know, celebrating our history and preserving our culture. But you're in a place that itself is an historic thing. So when you heard John talking about a nonprofit group gathered, you're thinking, oh, that's the modern era. Everybody's a nonprofit. You heard what he said. That's the 1930s, ladies and gentlemen. This is a long time deal. Now, I want to talk a moment, John, about the history of the, by the way, when they have the ball, it's the 1885 rules that were tacked up then. Ladies must wear dresses on the dance floor. Gentlemen must check in hats, spurs, and guns at the door. No alcohol, smoking, spitting, cussing, fighting, shooting, or riding horses is allowed in the hall. And that's the way it is. It's a really fun family event. TexasCCB.com is in Texas. CowboysChristmasBall.com is an easy place to go read about the history, see some pictures, and get your tickets to this year's ball. The ball's coming up on 16th, 17th, and 18th. Of course, Michael Martin Murphy, the famed Michael Martin Murphy, makes this a stop every single year. Then it's Jake Hooker and the Outsiders and Jody Nix and his Texas Cowboys. So you got it covered all the way. Cowboy music, traditional country, and of course the current king of Western swing, Jody Nix and his Texas Cowboys. I want you to talk about how this ball and why this ball is actually not just known around here, but for over 100 years, more than, 120, I guess it would be now or so, years, is known around the world.
Robert, yes. In fact, it's 136 years old, so that's how long it's been. And that famous poem was from Larry Chittenden, who was a New York author and poet and dandy. He was down here to visit his family that had some land here. So it was published by the Knickerbocker Press in New York, which was one of the biggest publishing companies in the world back in 1893 when it was published. So that went, you know, that was, and there were many editions of that book called Ranch Verses, which contained that famous poem, The Cowboys' Christmas Ball. And we have every year You know, my family's been going to the ball for six generations. The first ball was attended by my great-grandfather and namesake, who was a retired Texas lawman and Texas rancher that had property next to the Chittendens and knew Larry Chittenden. They were good friends. He taught him how to hunt and fish, and he attended the first ball, and he's mentioned in that famous poem. But we have people from all over the state. We have people from out of state. And we have international visitors every year. We recognize our international visitors and our out-of-state visitors. So it's really just a national event. It's actually become an international event.
Well, that's
event.
What I want to talk about, this poem. We kind of glossed over that. The Cowboys Christmas Ball is at a time in America when people often bought books of poetry. I mean, I think a lot of people today say, well, who's reading poetry? Well, there are people who do. But poetry was once as common as pop music. It really was that common. And this poem itself is very, very famous, and it's been set to music and done by many artists. So the Cowboys Christmas Ball not only shows up in the original publication in 1893 and then republished, of course, Edna Ferber in her famous book Giant recognizes the Cowboy Christmas Ball at Anson. And this has been published with by John Lomax and Cowboy Songs and Other Frontier Ballads, a Macmillan publication in 1910. All of these things were very popular books. The whole world, especially Europe and, of course, everybody in the East, all the way really through the 1950s, seemed to be just in love with the American West. But at no time more so than the late 1800s and early 1900s. In fact, Lomax, that author, was there in the 1939 ball. And then Gordon Graham did the first musical version of it in 1946. I mean, this thing has been read, published, and recorded for generation after generation after generation. And I don't think we can dismiss the importance of Chittenden's Cowboys Christmas Ball. The ball might have gone on locally just as a social event, but that really made this a part of not just Texas lore, but American folklore. Talk a little more about that and the effect of that, and, for example, Michael Martin Murphy's version of that.
Well, that, you know, that ball and Michael Martin Murphy's version is just beautiful. He performs it every year. But that was a New York author and poet's description of his first experience coming out to the Texas frontier, where his family had land, and how overwhelmed and impressed he was with it. It was a description of the American West on the early frontier.
And lots of these people back east had land out here. A lot of them had never even seen the land. They bought it through, I mean, the country was growing to the west, and they were buying land on speculation. Some came out and homesteaded land. Some came out and lived on it. Some just had other people take care of it. And in the case of this, Larry came out to see the land. You know, this wasn't uncommon. It was very common, though, to have these people back east. I mean, most of our big ranches out here were started by people either from back east or even in, like, the case of the Matador Ranch, where I grew up near, started by people in Scotland. You know, I mean, there were investors all over the world. This was the frontier. This was where money was to be made raising cattle. It's before we really got into the oil boom situation. And this really was a thing that people wanted to do. I guess it would be a major bucket list item for lots of people with means back east would be out and come to see something like this. And I think that explains why Chittenden's poem, The Cowboy's Christmas Ball, was so popular and so enduring all the way to this day, is that it gave people an idea of this idea of the West and America.
Well, you know, Chittenden, this was a property owned by his family. He had never seen it, and he was due to inherit it. So he came out to see what it was all about and to see what it was. And he was so impressed that he actually moved here and lived and had Larry Chittenden Ranch. In fact, in the old historic Pioneer Hall, we have an actual built-to-scale replica of the 19th century Jones County Ranch home of Chittenden. And we also have a built-to-scale replica of the old Morning Star Hotel, where the original ball was held. So the old Pioneer Hall is actually like an old museum too. Not only the building and the hardwood floor and the bleachers, but a lot of the things we have in it go all the way back to the original ball, the old rules, a covered wagon canvas tarp over the bandstand, and a lot of the things in there. But going back to Chittenden, you know, this, you know, we had the forts along that Frontier Texas here will tell us about. This was a time when the West had not gone much farther than this, and this was the edge of it, and families were coming in and settling it. So it was quite a historical time in our nation's history.
Pratt's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Now, back to the interview and your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
Dr. Paul Carson, Emeritus Professor of History at Texas Tech, wrote a major work on the ball, Dancing and Ancing, A History of the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. That's published by Texas Tech's Press, ttupress.org. That was way back in 2014. It's been featured on all kinds of TV shows and radio shows and, I mean, magazines, American Cowboy, you name it. It's been in there and mentioned. And, of course, Michael Martin Murphy, probably the highest profile Western artist because of his so many hits, you know, and that have crossed over in every kind of genre, you know, pop music, country music, you name it. Wildfire, of course, everybody's heard that one, one of the most played songs in history. Michael Martin Murphy has chosen to make this an annual event for him because that's how important the authenticity of the ball is. But this doesn't stop with Michael Martin Murphy. I mean, there's still there are folks everywhere taking part in this. I mean, you take your Friday night performer, Jake Hooker and the Outsiders. Jake Hooker is one of the younger folks. I mean, he's not a kid anymore, but he's one of the younger folks who moved out to Fort Worth, became one of the tops of traditional country music, and Jake Hooker's a big part of this ball now. Jody Nick's a big part of this ball. Seems like everybody who has an appreciation for the Western history, and particularly Texas history, has really made it, gone out of their way, I should say, John, to take part or be part of the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. I'm sure at the association you guys understand the enormity of the weight on your shoulders to keep the interest up as times change. And, you know, you have people who think if it's not on a computer screen, it doesn't exist. They sit in a chair all day. They don't actually do real things. I'm sure this has been tough to try to keep this thing moving forward. In the COVID year last year, said no ball because we couldn't meet the state rules. And that's been tough on the association, been tough on the fans. But that's happened before, hasn't it? Isn't it interesting that the other time, the only other time they didn't have the ball was when?
It was in 1918 and 1919 during the Spanish flu epidemic when it was, you know, when it was illegal for to have any group gatherings. It had to be canceled during those 2 years, too.
So that 1918, 1919 for the Spanish flu pandemic, and then 2020 for this Wu flu pandemic thing. And I assume that's put a lot of pressure on you guys. You've lost a year of revenue and event. And I know this year you weren't even able to, because of the ridiculous economics we're in, you couldn't even get a caterer to guarantee a price early, you know, far out enough to do the normal dinner. One night's usually, folks, a big dinner with the Michael Martin Murphy deal. Now, that's a big part of y'all's event and keeping the money in the pot to keep this thing going and keep Pioneer Hall in good shape. So you weren't even able to do the dinner this year, but we're going to have the ball, though. We're going to have the three nights. Talk about just the work of the association and what you guys do to keep this going and what it costs, what's necessary to maintain and keep the hall in good shape, and just the things you guys do every year when it's not up on stage where we're all looking at it.
Well, and it's, you know, it's local people. It's about a dozen members of the board, the association board. It's about a dozen families who have, you know, attended the ball for generations. For instance, my family's in its sixth generation. When I danced with my young granddaughter out under the mistletoe on the hall, it was, she represented the sixth generation of our families. And many others are the same. And we get the high school kids at Anson High School volunteer to run the coat hat check booth in the concession stand and help us clean. And then we have some volunteers from Anson, but it's a very small group. And, you know, it's nonprofit. You know, we break even. We do, if this isn't a commercial concert undertaking.
But you got to raise enough money every year to pay the bills, though, and come and be able to come back next year. And I'm sure that was tough having to shut down for a year.
Well, yes. And, you know, the hall to keep that, to keep the state historical event and the state historical hall, you know, in historical preservation, to keep it up and clean and going. And, you know, we allow Anson, we allow the school, the community, the churches to use the hall. That hall is available for the community. And so we have to keep it clean, keep it repaired, keep it, you know, from leaking and year round. So it's, you know, it's a labor of love.
Well, and, we want to make sure that just like I'm sure after the 1918, 1919 closures, that people roared back in from the farms and ranches across West Texas for the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. And we want to make sure that this year is just a huge success. It's just a concert. Don't think you got to be one of the dancers, or as we might say, the dancers, one of the dancers down on the floor. This is good to bring the kids. The music you're going to hear is fabulous, whether it's the famed Michael Martin Murphy, Jake Hooker and the Outsiders, Jody Nix and his Texas Cowboys on that's the 16th, 17th, and 18th of December. The tickets are, by today's pricing, this is unbelievably low. $25 if you buy them online in advance for adults. $10 for ages 13 through 17, and children 12 and under are free. This is a family event. We want to make sure that this ball is so well attended this year, given all the other complications that happened. TexasCCB.com, and you can read the history there as well. Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball, TexasCCB.com. It's coming up in Anson, and it'll be the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Go to the website, TexasCCB.com. Now, John Kempier, I wanted to get that little bit in there because I'm worried about it. I mean, it's hard enough to keep this stuff going. I mean, it is truly hard to keep. We're in a world now where the world tells people that anything that came from your parents, and especially your grandparents and great-grandparents, is probably bigoted, horrible, wrong, evil. Because this is what Marxism teaches. There is no history. They rewrite history and all of this, and I'm not going to get into all the philosophy of that, but we really are fighting that. And it's harder and harder to keep these kind of things going. But you know what seems to work? When you get people out of their house, out of their chair, and they actually go and see something like this, and they'll say for years, even if they're not a dancer, they're going to say, wow, that was fun. That was wonderful. And I assume that that's what's kept families coming back for years and all the grandkids traveling in from far away, some trying to make it once or twice to, if they're from there but not living there anymore. I assume this is sort of a big thing to come in early before Christmas and be with family and people to track, because it is a lot of fun. Talk just about the environment of the event and the folks that come and what people can expect when they get there.
Well, as we've said many times, it's a family affair. And I guarantee you that if you will come and bring your family, you will enjoy every minute of it. You will enjoy the music. You'll enjoy the festive seasonal fellowship. You will enjoy the hall. You will enjoy everything about it. And you will certainly come back. It's our lively gated soiree. It's a family event, and it's a wonderful Texas historical gathering and celebration.
And if you want to dress up in period costume, folks, you've got plenty of time to choose from. I mean, it started in the 1880s, so you can pretty well dress up in anything from now all the way back to then that's Western and really make it even more fun. But none of that is necessary. It's just a fun event to come to. Now, you mentioned concession stand. Is there snacks and stuff? I know you're not having the big dinner, but if people come in for the ball, what can they get? Just drinks and... are there snacks, well, anything like that?
This year we're having to limit it because of the high school kids and because of the other recommendations. We're having to limit it to just drinks. Normally we just have some snacks and things and candy and light things there in the concession stand. But we're limiting it to drinks this year, so there's not going to be any food.
All right, so that's just one of these things, and couldn't even have it last year, ladies and gentlemen. John, let me ask you this question. You guys, I mean, there's a 1930s mural in the post office in Anson that has been moved to the Grace Museum in Abilene, that's there on the wall still in Anson, right?
Yes, up on the wall, inside the Anson United States Post Office is a 1930 mural of the Cowboy Christmas Ball, and it's been there ever since the 1930s when the Public Works Administration did those posters around the country. It's been there, and it is still there.
I wanted to mention that for people that are driving through. A lot of us take those back road routes to go to Dallas or somewhere. You know, it's not going to add any time to your schedule to stop if you're in a business day. You know, if you can go in the post office, go take a look at that when you're driving through Anson, because all of those murals, that was the age of the muralists, and these are all over the country, and a lot were lost. The ones that had been saved around the country from that big, massive national public art effort are really major tourist attractions now, and things we're saving, and many have actually been taken, you know, off of a wall and moved into museums. So that's something to see in Anson. And
Robert, you mentioned the other one that you mentioned is in the Grace Museum in Abilene. It's the famous 1930 watercolor painting of the ball by Maxine Walker Perini. So it's at the Grace Museum in Abilene. That was the other thing that you started to mention.
And there is an exhibit at the Southwest Collections Library at Texas Tech. They have a collection on the, because that's what they do. They have a big collection, I guess, on the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. And I just want to wish you guys luck, and I hope people will luck just in keeping the ball going. This kind of thing takes a lot of dedication. You folks, John and others, Clay and others that I've visited with before, had on the show, work so hard at keeping this alive. And folks, it really all comes down to you buying tickets. And I take your kids once. You homeschoolers, take your kids. This is an official historical event designated by the Texas Historical Commission to promote preservation and celebrate the history. And so it's not fluff. It's real. And if we don't do this, if we don't introduce new people and new generations to these things, there'll be no record of them. Because, folks, the people we're fighting in this country right now want to wipe the slate clean. I mean, they don't want to say, oh, that's history, and change it. They want to then go back and change the history, as they've done all over the world. This is It's really a political and moral thing on our own shoulders to keep these type of remembrances going. And I'm just so glad that it's right here in West Texas, the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. John, anything else you want to add that people ought to know about the ball or about its history or something you're particularly proud of before we wind up?
I just hope that they'll come and take the time to come and enjoy it, because once they do, they'll always want to return and they'll be very glad they did. I mean, it is a bucket list bonus for Western history lovers in Texas beyond.
When are we going to get the seventh generation of the Kempeer clan? Are we still years away from that?
I think we're a few years. That 6-month-old granddaughter that I danced with on the hall is now a freshman in college, so it may be a few more years.
Oh, there we go. Well, this is a neat place to measure the span of time is dancing at the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball in Anson. John Kempeer, all the folks there at the association that keep this bit of Texas alive, we want to say a really big thank you to you for all you do. And we just want everybody who can come out and enjoy, because you can get your tickets right now. It's priced right, texasccb.com. Get your tickets and come to this year's ball. Don't let it pass by another year. John, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome, Robert.